It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everyone.
Happy Saturday. So, yeah, today we're talking about 1 euro homes, Sicily, visas.
And before you say, oh, no, another episode about 1 euro homes, we actually starting with something completely novel, which is the first 1 euro home program in Northern Italy.
What?
Yes.
Really?
And don't act so surprised. You wrote an article about it anyway. It's just an inside joke. Yeah. So this week.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. Sorry.
Yeah. So this week, the towns of Recoaro, Polsina, and Valle del Pasubio, very near Vicenza, and for those who don't know where Vicenza is, that's very near Venice, have announced that the first batch of 1 euro homes in those lovely mountain villages.
Oh, okay. And why just now?
Well, you see, it's actually a very interesting area that I personally know, I would say intimately. It was a magnet for tourists about 100 years ago. Even Nietzsche, the German philosopher, used to go on holiday there.
And are you joking?
No, no, it really is true. There's proof of it. He wrote about it. He wrote that it was one of the most beautiful places they had ever been to. But it kind of fell off the map, tourism-wise, because spas are not as popular now as they used to be in the past, in Italy at least. And so even when I was a child, this place, which was a huge tourist magnet, had become less popular in the past few years. It has suffered a massive exodus of people that go and work and live in the nearby cities. So there's a lot of empty homes, and quite simply, the local governments decided to make them available to investors and people that want to move there preferentially to restore, very much like the schemes in Southern Italy.
Yeah, but these are just the first ones in Northern Italy.
Exactly. First ones in Northern Italy. So if you want to know more about this, go to magictowns.it and read the article in which we cover everything about this brand new program.
And be the first one to buy them.
Yeah, maybe. And then we can have a chat about how you feel about that. That is, if Anna and I don't buy them first. What else is on our episode today, Anna? We have an interview,
so,
right?
Yeah, we met George after visiting Musumeli ourselves. And it was, how was it, Luca, because you went there?
George is the English beating heart of Musumeli now. We spent half an hour chatting with him about how things are going, how the city is changing now that he has brought in his massive social media following. He also has some new plans that he briefly mentions, and he's going to officially unveil in the next couple of weeks. So without further ado, here's a little excerpt of our chat with George.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi. I think we missed you by a day, Mr. Valley.
But we met some of your fans. Even the people that haven't met you, they're basically all there for you, which is very interesting. We've actually never seen anything like this.
It's been great for Mr. Melly. All the locals are very happy. All the 1 year houses have been sold now. All the prices are slowly starting to creep up. And everyone's spending money at the businesses. So it's just a win-win situation for everyone, really.
Absolutely. You know, we live in the north. Mm-hmm. And we found out that for the first time, just today, they have started a 1 euro home scheme just near us, 10 miles away.
Wow.
So that's quite exciting because, you know, Chopare has only been in the south.
I think a lot of the times, you know, one of the reasons people have sort of come to Musumeli is purely just because it's one of the few towns in Sicily which someone's really marketing it heavily. All these towns are pretty similar and they all offer similar cultural experiences, similar house prices. But Musumeli, I think it's just got very lucky. And the mayor has been a huge positivity because so many of these places, they have so much red tape. You know, with the 1 year house scheme I went through, there's no upfront deposit. You had 3 years to do the roof and the facade, but they've now scrapped that rule. And to incentivize people to keep coming, they've now introduced a new rule where you can remove the roof of your 1 year house and make a garden. The only time I've heard people having bad experiences in Musumeli is by using contractors who want to charge you upfront. I know one girl at the moment, she's from LA. She spent 20 grand in a house. I think she agreed to a £120,000 renovation budget. and she paid someone up front or didn't pay them up front. And now the builder thinks they've done £40,000 worth of work. She doesn't think £40,000 worth of work has been done. She's in legal battle with another contractor. So that's one of the reasons why I like to do a lot of the work myself, because all the times I've had like bad experiences always ends up by employing someone you employ, unfortunately.
We've been through that. And then when you employ someone new, they blame the old guy, and you never know where the terrain of responsibility ends or finishes. So it's even, no matter what, it's a disaster going forward.
And you don't know if they're cousins or the person you had before. You know, everyone seems to know everyone will be related to someone somehow.
Also, you have to be careful, because if you raise the ground around you in these small towns, it's over.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans to rent out your properties?
Yeah, I mean, for my first two properties, I've got a waiting list of about 500 people waiting to stay at the moment. I'm going to start taking bookings on my website, but, you know, the apartments aren't going to be ready for at least 2 or 3 months. But once they're ready, they'll just be rented out.
You know, from living in London, the price per square meter is just insane. So you see it and you see the value, but then you have to think about the money it costs to fix. So.
Yeah, I was watching a YouTube thing about these women renovating a palace in Palermo. And they were saying that the local wanted a €500,000 for a grant to start renovating, or just to even begin the process, they wanted $500,000 just to get the permits.
Oh, a guarantee. Yeah, it must have been a historical.
It was a historical one right in the center where you're looking over the main square, like the huge one, it's on the corner. And she was just like, we may be millionaires on paper, but we don't have £500,000 just to pay for a permit.
Yeah. What kind of incentive is it? Italy is riddled with old properties. You should do everything you can to make things easy.
I guess the one thing everyone here believes in, we believe in Italy, we believe the property is cheap, and we believe we should be doing more to bring people in.
That's what we've been working on, finding towns where the local government is supportive. Because as you know, everything changes from town to town.
Because we're in a very good position, and every time I sell a house for Miss Amelia, I don't get paid for it. I'm just doing it out of goodwill. The reason I left London is I couldn't afford £500,000 for one bedroom flat. So now I've got more chance of buying a house in London in a few years than I did staying there.
Hopefully we'll get you to move to Italy permanently. You're working on getting a visa, right?
Well, that's the thing. At the moment, I don't have a visa. I can only stay 90 out of 180 days. So for the last probably 40 months now, I spent 2 weeks in Mr. Melli, 2 weeks in London. I've been doing that on rotation every month for 40 months now. So at some point, it would be nice to spend longer than a couple of weeks at a time. But as far as I'm aware, either I get a student visa, which I have to go into college 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. And, you know, I dropped out of uni after first days.
Now they have changed the law. You need to have at least a B1 in Italian in order to get the visa. So you must have Italian before you can enroll at university.
And the only other option is get a digital nomad visa, which I could probably be accepted for.
Nowadays, they've sped up the process. You can get one in probably 45 days. You could also marry an Italian. Just be careful of the husbands.
Basically, 20% of the people I bring to Miss Amelie realize they don't want to live in Miss Amelie. Actually, they want to live by the beach. And it's just been a rule of thumb. I've realized, averagely, about 20% of all people end up moving to the beach after coming to Miss Amelie.
It's funny that you mentioned this thing about people changing their minds, because, like, we spoke to this Australian woman, and she's like, you know, I need to be somewhere else. I'd like to be in Italy, but I'd like to be somewhere else as a full-time thing. So finding the few different decent options is definitely important. There are people for whom Musumeru will be fine, but there would also be people looking for other things.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Sicily. You know, there's not many places left in the world you can buy a property for sort of 20 or 30,000. And, you know, if you sold your property elsewhere for a couple hundred grand, you can have 2-3 properties all around Sicily, jump between each of them, rent them out.
I think people don't understand just how much of it is on the value. We just bought a house around the corner from here. It would pay the 50K, and it's big, like 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
But the beauty of it is that it's actually a very thriving town. It's near Venice, it's near Padova, it's near Verona. You can find cheap stuff everywhere. You just have to look.
Yeah. The thing that I've seen change about Miss Amelia most recently is now all the one-year houses and the houses under 10K are starting to go, the houses under 20K are starting to go. But the biggest change has been the nightly rate per stay. So last time I was, my cameraman from Channel 4 who came to stay with me, he rented a standard two-bedroom apartment in Miss Amelie. He was paying €100 per night on Airbnb. He paid €700 for the week. I couldn't believe it.
I was shocked.
That's a fraction of the house. You just bought it, you know.
The room where we stayed, but it was also, it also had quite a few problems. And €90 a night.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's even more expensive than bigger cities. Like,
there was also a lot of like quite good people that were doing things for, you know, social causes, ESG things, like the community kitchens,
Armenia, who was like trying to set up something with wool that had indirectly met you. So there's a lot of social good going on the sidelines of all the things you've introduced, because you've got people who want to do good in an area where they can afford, you know, and to set up premises.
And that's what you can do when you're in a place where you can actually play with property, where you can buy stuff and have a bit of fun with it. There's no way someone can say, I'm going to throw it around the cave at something in London and make a cool working space out of it, because you're not even going to buy a garage.
There's one guy in Missimeli who I like a lot. He started with one house, bought it for 20,000. He now owns all six adjoining houses. In the first house, the top floor, he's turned it into a hairdresser studio where he gets a couple young guys and girls who's doing hairs. He's turned the bottom floor into a cafe, and he's got a license from the mayor to have tables and chairs outside, and they've made a communal garden. And he's just turned corner property now into like half the street, which he owns. And it cost him like 150 grand in total.
Little empire.
And he's got his own little empire, you know, and he gets people on WeWork who come and work for him for free for sort of work experience. And, you know, he's living like a king.
Yeah, but then people supporting each other and that kind of lifestyle, people miss. And the thing is, if you relocate to a big city or you relocate somewhere there's no foreigners, you feel very lonely. Whereas that's what Missimeli has. You have like-minded people and you pull them all together to a place so that that dissipates the loneliness. So I can see how it really works.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And, you know, when you live in a place where you're restrained financially and you've got so many bills coming out, it's almost a luxury to be able to have all these sort of ideas and go through with them, you know. But because you're not constrained financially or by the mayor, you know, there's a lot of freedom to sort of, I say to anyone, if you've got 50 grand, you can come buy a house and start a business and have a good life, which is, you know, in London, that's like a year's rent. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, there's people ask, why did you choose Missimeli? I don't really choose Missimeli. It's just they had a one-year house scheme going on, and I wanted a cheap house. And then because I was there, I started promoting it. You know, Missimeli is beautiful, but, you know, there's another 10,000 towns which look pretty identical to Missimeli around city. But, you know, it really depends who's there and who's promoting it.
So they come over because it's like, I'm not going to be the only foreigner in a town.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my problem is I don't really tend to think things through too much. I just sort of go with the flow and hope for the best. And it's planned out pretty well so far. Also, I try and show, you know, a positive side of this. You know, a lot of these people who document this process, it's quite negative. They're talking about all this sort of things that have gone wrong. I just try and show doing on a shoestring budget with not speaking the language, not knowing anyone, you know, it's still possible. Okay. Yeah. I see the people who end up in the biggest trouble are the ones who are just trying to throw money at problems all the time, when that doesn't really solve the problem a lot of the time, just constantly throwing money at the issue. But you learn from your mistakes, and fortunately, I've not made any costly ones.
Also, if you do nothing, you don't make any mistakes. So the only, you know, that's how you learn, that's how you progress.
It was really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much, George.
That was such a great conversation.
Yeah, he's always full of insights.
I love how honest George is about what he did. I mean,
absolutely. We cut out some of the more honest parts, but he's still very honest on record. Anyway, it was a pleasure to talk to him, and we're always following what he's doing. And it will be interesting to see how the region of Sicily develops, given that the one-euro homes scheme is kind of maxing out, and people are starting to look a little bit more further afield for other locations. And so I am bullish Sicily over the long term. We shall see.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about cheap property. It's about community. It's about building something bigger. And yeah, finding the right one isn't that easy.
Absolutely. It's mostly about community, I'd say. If there's something we learned, it's that. Thank you, listeners, for being here thus far and for listening to us every week. We really appreciate you, and feel free to send us your comments. The last thing I want to mention before going on to enjoy my Saturday brunch is that this week we have launched on Magic Towns Italy two new indicators, which are very, very important. We're going to be talking about this in next week's podcast in a little bit more detail, but we now cover demographic fragility as an indicator on our Town Explorer. It has become clear that a large amount of towns in Italy, almost two-thirds of them, are shrinking at a pretty rapid pace. And that, of course, is a dangerous signal for anyone. They may find themselves in a community that will shrink over the next 20 years. So we have crunched the data and simplified it in a way that everyone can understand. Anyone that has access to the Town Explorer or Magic Towns, they can now filter by whether a town is solid from a demographic standpoint, meaning likely to do well over the next few years, mixed, or if it is in a position of fragility. In those cases, you may want to be thinking twice about what your own needs will be in 10 or 20 years. I hope you're going to enjoy using this. I hope you enjoyed our podcast, and I hope you enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, guys. See you next time.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, everyone.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.